हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। So, reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Ocean, Fourth Wave, Chapter 43, titled Parenthood. So, on page 33, so continuing with the explanation here of Srila Jiva Goswami on verse 3476. Sukadeva has also explained that Krishna had made them enter that same Vrindavan previously. Following is the description of that event. Nanda Maharaj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respects to Krishna. Nanda described all this to his fellow cowherd men. The cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord. And their minds, O King, were filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode? Because he sees everything, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood that the cowherd men were conjecturing. Wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desire, the Lord thought as follows. My own dearest people, Jana, the inhabitants of Braja, thinking that they are wandering in this world, etasmin loke, in various destinations, such as devas, animals, etc., katishu, by their own ignorance, do not know their real abode, right? So then you see this, that they're in Braj, the topmost position in the cosmos, but they're not actually understanding that. They're just thinking they're in the material world and in, you know, wandering with it throughout the species of life. So they were thinking, wow, if he's the Supreme Lord, would we be able to attain to that ultimate destination, right? Because for them, the Supreme Lord means Narayan, and like that, and they all worship Narayan, but Krishna is the most important to them, right? Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. Lord Krishna revealed the indescribable, indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance. When their consciousness is freed from the modes of material nature, the cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to Brahmaharada, where Akrura had gone previous to the Bhagavatam narration, and were submerged in the water, and then lifted up. The cowherd men saw the abode of the Lord. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas, who were offering him prayers. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28, 10:7.
I'm sorry, but when you lean forward to read, we can't actually see you on the camera. Could you
really
talk the phone a bit better? Yes.
Hmm, that's interesting. I should have, you know, you have one of those masks and put it on the back of your head. So. No?
Thank you.
Okay. It should be understood. Yeah, but now when I sit back, then, oh, you can still see. Okay. That's better. Okay. Should be understood that the inhabitants of Braja later factually attained Krishna's own abode, which he had showed them as their final abode previously, as described in the above verses. The place called Brahmaharada is identified as the place where Akrura went, Akrura Tirtha. It indicates praise for Akrura. Akrura had gone there previously, pura, to the conversation of Sukadeva and Pariket. Krishna brought them there, submerged them in the Brahma Hrada, and then lifted them out. He brought them to the area of Vrindavan, and there they saw the planet where the Supreme Brahman has a human form. The Brahma Hrada is described as that place where Akrura had gone, which was not the impersonal Brahman. Incidentally, pura usually means in the past, can also mean in the future. For Vishwa Prakash says, pura purane nikate prabandhadatita bhavishu. Pura means in the past, close by, and in the remote future. And the word Brahmaloka means only the abode of the Lord, not the impersonal feature. The use of Brahmaloka is found in the second canto of Bhagavatam. From the forefront of the chest up to the neck of the universal form of the Lord are situated the planetary systems named Janaloka and Tapaloka, whereas Satyaloka, the topmost planetary system, is situated on the head of the form. The spiritual planets, however, are eternal. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.39. Right, so Brahmaloka means Krishna's place, but unfortunately, the aspect of this Brahmaloka, then we're also the impersonalists will take it to mean the Brahman, and the Karmis will take it to mean the planet of Lord Brahma. So in this way, the same statement is always seen as the ultimate goal to attain Brahmaloka, but then it will have different meanings to the different levels of consciousness, but it actually means Krishna's abode. It doesn't mean anything material. Though the words sukshma, tamasaparam, and satyam jnanam employed to describe Brahmaloka in the above verses are only general terms which could apply to the impersonal form, with the words na svargatim sukshmam na veda shyam gatim gopanam Swam Lokam and Krishnam Chatatra, the planet of Gopal, is understood because of the specific descriptive terms involving the Lord. There, Krishna was being praised by the Vedas. Krishna arranged for testimony of the highest scriptures describing his birth and activities to make the cowherd men recognize his position. Only because they were the associates of the Lord and he willed it, they could experience this. For there are no descriptions of others seeing this. Relishing only Krishna, they experience the highest bliss, paramananda, losing memory of their previous existence, since nirvritaha means extinction. When the Lord incarnated, they became ignorant of being associates of the Lord on his planet, and thus, during his pastime, they requested him to see the spiritual realm, even though they were on his spiritual planet. This ignorance is explained in the verse starting the Jano Vai. Jana can indicate Swajana, Krishna's own associates. That the word Jana indicates the Lord's devotee is illustrated in the following verse. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, Swarupya, or Ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 3.29.13. In fact, it should be understood that the inhabitants of Braja were his most dear people. Krishna thought in his mind concerning Indra's rainstorm. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master. And indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. The meaning of the verse is therefore, my dearest people, Jana, the inhabitants of Braja, thinking that they are wandering in this world, etasmin loke, to various destinations such as devatas, animals, etc., gatishu, by their ignorance, oblivious of Atma, do not know their real abode, which I will thus show to them. So he's showing to them the abode that they're already in, but they don't know that. So like this, you go through some activity like that, and then it works for them. So it's by Yoga Maya. In other words, their quote unquote ignorance is caused by absorption in Krishna's human like pastimes. The inhabitants of Braja identify themselves as ordinary persons. This is illustrated in the following statements. In this way, all the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.58. So they're unable to understand anything on the material, but because they identify themselves as humans, they still think that they're in the material world. So that's the thing of the human-like pastimes here. It's so absorbed that they interpret everything in the human-like way. So they don't see the mystic powers of Krishna and things like that. So even if Krishna manifests them, they just take it that, you know, somehow or another, Lord Narayana was very kind and made this arrangement. So when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, then Mother Yashoda thinks, well, Vishnu, because of Krishna's, Nanda Baba's worship of Lord Vishnu, he's empowered him to hold the hill up and in this way protect Krishna. So like that, they just interpret it according to this. So this kind of understanding is there, this Maya is there, but Yoga Maya means it's connected to Krishna. But when this Maya is not connected to Krishna, it's connected to the material world, we see this the effect that they can't understand things, you know, externally as they may be. But then the problem comes is the material platform, then we're identifying with we don't see Krishna involved in it. Well, here, Mother Yashoda is just absorbed in Krishna and everything else she sees, you know, in the context that she's seeing. But in the material world, we're not seeing Krishna and we're seeing the context of what we're seeing, not connected to Krishna also. And so then we're just an illusion. So that if someone sees according to their particular position and understanding, that's fine. That's the Pramitri Chaitanya. That's the aspect of consciousness in which, according to our experience and our values, that's how we see. So that works fine. But the point is when it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes glorious. But if it's not, it's connected to the material energy, then it just binds us here. So that's yeah, that should be appreciated. Yeah. Okay. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.36. So Putana, he's already given himself to Putana and her family members. That means all of her demoniac family, you know, relatives and all, they'll all get benefit because of her one thing. And she was only partially kind of connecting. So he's saying, so what's left to give the residents of Vrindavan? Because they themselves are giving, and their family members, and everything else, wealth, friends, everything, bodies, children, everything's given. So what is there, you know, what is there left to give them? So they're all on the transcendental platform, right? So someone like that, they're on the highest platform. With voices faltering out of love for him, those cowherds who had dedicated all their wealth to lotus-eyed Krishna asked about the health of their dear ones in Dwarka. And Balaram, in turn, asked about the cowherd's welfare. Thus, from such seeming ignorance of their real natures, Nanda had asked Krishna to show him his abode. Right? So he asked him to see, even though he's living in it. So it's that's why I say seeming ignorance. It's not real ignorance, because this is just yoga maya, because they consider themselves humans. Even though they're in this topmost spiritual realm, they'll only think that they're over humans. That's why in Braj, they comfortably refer to the activities, because in Boma Lila, they're performing all the human activities, and that interacts with those outside of Vrindavan. Right? So therefore the other residents of Dwarka, who are also in the spiritual world, so they're Goloka, but then even the demons and other materialists and everything else. So whatever things happen there at that time, that can be always referred to in the Apricot Lila. And so that aspect in the Apricot Lila, where they're talking about and seeing themselves as humans, that it doesn't need to be replicated because it's one place. So therefore, the upper manifestation of Braja Vrindavan and then the Boma Lila manifestation are the same place. So the Apricot Lila is the same. And then the Prakat Lila just means it's manifest so we can appreciate it. So for some time, the door is open that we can appreciate. So it's all the same thing. So they can refer to these things. And you don't have to have them going on in Goloka. That's why in Goloka, you don't have to have the husbands of the gopis. You don't have to have the demons being killed. You don't have to have the childhood pastime, because they've all happened in the same place, but just somehow or another, a different manifestation. So, but for them, it's all one place. You know, otherwise it was two different places, then it wouldn't make sense. Right? But it's one place. That's why we see, before it was mentioned, Nanda Baba and the Prakat Lila and Nanda Baba and the Apricot Lila. When it becomes Apricot, then Nanda Baba, then the two become one person. They come together as one. Right? So when there's Prakat, then that Apricot Nanda Baba expands so that he's in the Prakat. And those two pastimes are going on at once. But they can't see each other. And then they merge together. So depending on what Krishna wants you to see, that's why when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, then sometimes he was seeing the Apricot Lila and sometimes he was seeing the Prakat Lila, depending upon what Krishna wanted him to see, you know, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. So the two go on at once. It's not a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is the basis, is that the human pastimes, because then it just is based on that affection. It's not that because he's so great and powerful, like in Vaikuntha, because he's God. That's the impetus for their inspiration. So that he's God, that's the qualities he has. And it's also the Udipan, right? But for Krishna, for the inhabitants of Vrindavan, it's just his wonderfulness, his nature, everything like that. That's what makes it so special. And so then from that angle, then it's always connected. They're always connected to Krishna. So that's why you don't have to have all these different things go on in Goloka Vrindavan, because they're going on in Boma Lila Vrindavan. They're the same place. When voices falter, so they don't know this because of just how Yoga Maya works. With voices faltering out of love for him, those cowherds who had dedicated all their wealth to lotus-eyed Krishna ask about the health of their dear ones in Dwarka, and Balaram in turn ask about the cowherd's welfare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:65-6. Thus from such seeming ignorance of their real natures, Nanda had asked Krishna to show him his abode. This very special manifestation of Vrindavan is described in the Varaha Purana. A large-eyed woman, the wise sees something very astonishing there. In front of the lake of Kaliya, there's a huge, pure kadamba tree with hundreds of branches and sweet fragrance. All year, attractive and cool, it continues to flower. All the directions are illuminated by this tree. O earth, listen as I explain something astonishing here. Men who are absorbed in service to me at this that place, near to the north of that place, there's an ashok tree emanating coolness. On the 12th day of the waxing phase of Vaishak month, the tree blooms at noon, giving bliss to my devotees. Except for my pure devotees, no one knows this. In talking to the earth, the Lord is explaining that even she does not know the wonder of Vrindavan, right? Even though it's sitting on her, but she still doesn't know. Like that. The above is the description of the glory of Brahmakund. In the Skanda Purana, it is said, Vrindavan, the 12th forest, is protected by Vrinda. The Lord is situated there, and it is worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and others. The Adi Varaha Purana says, the bridge built for Krishna's pastimes destroys the greatest of sins. Having constructed a lookout pavilion there for playing, the Lord, holder of the club, goes there in a moment's time every day, enjoying with his cowherd friends eternally. Also, the Skanda Purana says, Krishna, along with Balaram, surrounded by young boys, plays with the calves and newest calves within Vrindavan. It is said, quote, if there is honey available, enjoy it. Why go to the mountain looking for it? Thus, the inhabitants of Braja do not have to go anywhere to attain perfection, not by the process of going to Vaikuntha, as was stated in the Padma Purana. Since they already had it, by manifesting this special Vrindavan, the Lord completely concealed from them the process of going to a distant place to attain perfection, which is the cause for sadhana siddhas going from the material world. In conclusion, the inhabitants of Braja entered into this special manifestation of Vrindavan beyond the sight of mortals. Moreover, this is mentioned in the Brihat Gautamiya Tantra by the Lord himself. This pleasant Vrindavan is my own abode. There, all cows, animals, birds, insects, and humans are without death. Those who live under my mercy come to my abode on dying. The daughters of the cowherd men live in my abode, completely giving up all connections. They serve me continually. This place, measuring 5 yojanas, is non-different from my body. The Yamuna, flowing with the sweetest nectar, is the Shushumna, central nerve of that body. All the devas and elements exist there in a transcendental form. The embodiment of all devas, I do not leave that forest for a moment, though I appear and disappear in this world age after age. But this radiant forest full of pleasure is invisible to the material eye. So that transcendental realm is there, the apricot lila is always there. And so he may appear in the prakat lila and, you know, appear and disappear in the prakat lila, but in the apricot, he's always there. He never leaves the place. In the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2.23, Durvasa speaks to Radha. He is beyond birth and death. He is fixed and indivisible. He exists as the soul of Vrindavan and the soul of the pastures. He protects the cowherds. He resides in all the cowherds and in all the devatas. He is glorified by all the Vedas. Entering all beings, he supports all beings. Krishna indeed is the master. Saurya in the above verse refers to Sauri, daughter of the sun, indicating the Jamuna River. And thus Vrindavan, which is close to the Jamuna. So he's talking about that place where the Jamuna is flowing there. In conclusion, it should be understood that after killing all the demons, starting with Kamsa and ending with Dantavakra, Krishna returned to Vraja and then arranged to live eternally in Nityasthiti with all the inhabitants of Vraja in a secret manifestation of Vrindavan. Because of this, he is also described as the killer of Kamsa in the descriptions of Vrindavan pastimes in the Patala Kanda. Though an ordinary view of the sequence of events, the killing of Kamsa occurs after the Vrindavan pastimes end. Right? So the ordinary view is there, but it's described as part of the pastimes of Vrindavan. Right? Because he never leaves, but at the same time as in the Prakat Leela, then it appears that he leaves. People are unfortunate who have not drunk the water of the Jamuna, where the killer of Kamsa plays in association with the cows, cowherd boys, and gopis. In the Bodayana Karma, Vipaka, describing the worship of Govinda surrounded by the cows and cowherds, one mantra says, O Govinda, Lord of the gopis, killer of Kamsa, worshipped by the devatas. Similar way of speaking will also be found in the section on Vira Rasa concerning a mock battle. O killer of Keshi, why are you so eager to fight with weak Balaram, knowing that I, Bhadrasena, am present? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.3.15. So Bhadrasena is one also the one that's elder cowherd boys or senior cowherd boys who protect and take care of Krishna. And so he's saying, why do you want to fight with Balaram? He's so weak. You want to fight, you fight with me, you know, like I'm present. Why, you know, okay, I'm not here, then you fight with Balaram. From the meaning of the sentence, it must indicate the pastime of killing Keshi previously to the time of this mock battle. For it is impossible to make a different sequence of time simply by one's own choice. Thus, the mock battle must have taken place after Krishna returned to Vraja. Another point should be made in this book. There are three types of pastime descriptions. Descriptions of pastimes in Vraja, descriptions of the pastimes of leaving Vraja, and description of pastimes in the cities, Mathura and Dwarka. There are three types of listeners: followers of the inhabitants of Braja, followers of the citizens of the cities, and those with feelings for both types of inhabitants. These types have been here distinguished in order to nourish the happiness of all three types of listeners. All three types of pastimes cause nourishment of happiness for devotees with mixed tendencies, because all the pastimes are concerning only Krishna. The Braja pastimes, as well as the city pastimes, are also a cause of happiness for the followers of the city citizens. They think in the following manner about the Braja pastimes. The son of Vasudeva, our own person, after performing various pastimes in Braja, then came to the city and increased the happiness of Vasudeva and others by having had a happy experience from his Braja pastime. So when they hear how happy he was in Vrindavan, right, because he was separated from them, but when they hear how happy he was there and that, then they're happy to know that he was comfortable, because they were not comfortable, so they wouldn't want that uncomfortableness to be there for Krishna. So that he was comfortable in Vrindavan, they're very happy. For the followers of the people of Braja, the pastimes related to the cities do not at all produce happiness, but rather give grief because of the uncertainty of his returning to Raja. But even the descriptions of Raja pastimes result in giving them sorrow, since the pastimes apparently came to an end. What to speak of the pastimes of leaving Raja? The author, however, has described all the pastimes with the desire to produce happiness for all the three types of persons. Footnote 10. The followers of the inhabitants of Braja need the explanations given by the commentator, so that the pastimes of separation end, and Krishna finally returns to Braja and stays there permanently. Right, so everyone is there. So one has to be very careful. You can't take this and then go, see, you know, we only listen to the Braja pastimes. But he also mentions, no, the pastimes of Braja also give them grief because they seemingly came to an end. And so they're waiting for Krishna to come back. So that he comes back after the pastimes of Dantavakra and then stays there permanently, then that is why he's explaining that gives pleasure to the residents of Braja, because they think, oh, he's coming back, or he has come back. It was said previously, Rati for Krishna is most uncommon, more astonishing than the most astonishing, and attains special rasa in combination with his devotee. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.108. That Rati, which has the son of Nanda, the leader of the cowherd men, as the object, reaches the highest height of most intense bliss. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.110. By these clear statements, the happiness of the followers of the inhabitants of Braja should be nourished. In a similar way, it has been written in the summarized Bhagavatamrita. Quote, it is accepted by the author that Krishna, after returning to Braja, resides there eternally amongst the inhabitants of Braja. Whose happiness increases from hearing about his victories in the city. Right? So now, having come back to Braja, then he's staying there. Now, hearing about the city pastimes, it increases their happiness because they hear of all the victories and how everything went so nicely for him. You know, because he's, you know, he in the opposite. Now, he's their man. And he went there. He took care of his relatives. But having done all that and all this work, now he's come back. He's going to eternally be there in Vrindavan. Right? By hearing this, the followers of the inhabitants of Braja will gain happiness. Right? So each one has their own thing. It is said in the Bhagavatam, the Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal the living entity as pure spirit soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, deal in esoteric terms, and I am also pleased by such confidential descriptions. Right, so you have the main divisions like that, but he also says is that the esoteric terms, he's also pleased by these confidentials. So he appreciates these subtle explanations, these kind of hidden kind of things. Thus, because of the Lord's fondness for such matter of expression, it should have been understood that the facts are not stated directly in all cases, right? Because sometimes we're thinking, no, why is it not directly said here? Because Krishna likes it when it's that way. It is also expressed in the Bhagavatam that since Krishna resides eternally there, what is the question of accepting to go anywhere else? So it's already mentioned there, but then you have all these pastimes, you get confused, but Krishna likes it that way, because then he gives that variety and everything there. And you see the acharyas, when they're explaining the verse, either, you know, they're directly explaining it like this, or they're taking, if need be, because it may have words that are general, then it'll take each word or words that are, could be misconstrued, and then giving other verses that support the meaning of that verse, then say, this verse is interpreted like this. So you see Jiva Goswami was doing that here with the previous verses. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for disguising yourself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.36. Therefore, right, because if he is given to Putana for such, you know, seemingly short-term service, then what about these Brajvasis? So that's why they're constantly, he just in this moment, they attain Krishna. They're constantly, so why wouldn't they always be together with Krishna? So these pastimes then are eternal. That realm is eternal. They're always there. Therefore, because of their eternal relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world as normal conditioned souls. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.40. In the first of the two verses just quoted, because of having previous indebtedness to them, And because of their being with each other for beginningless kalpas, it should be understood that he must stay with them at all times. Sad Veshad means because Putana disguised herself as a devotee, as a nurse. In the second verse quoted, the meaning is taking birth again in this material world did not occur because they regarded Krishna as their son. Sutek Shanam, at the beginning, middle, and end, Aviratam. This regard was continual. The particular arrangement for eternally living together is also explained in the Uttara Gopal Champu. Receiving attention from his mother and taking consent from his father, Krishna, the ideal son of the king of Braja, calling the cows, goes to the forest and plays, and then returns to his house. In this way, enjoys with his friends. There's not even a breath of fatigue for the boys. So it's interesting, receiving attention from his mother and taking consent from his father, right? So there's a difference in the flavor. The mother wants to interact before he goes. Father is just, you come to him and as the senior, then get his permission and then he gives like that. Because otherwise he asked for the mother, then we saw before what her mood was. Her mood was is, why do you have to take out the cows? Your father's there, he can take them out, you know? Or being the king of Vrindavan, he can arrange for someone else to take them out. Why do you have to take them out? So that would be her. So that's why receiving attention from his mother and taking consent from his father, because otherwise it wouldn't work the other way. Like that. Yeah. So then, you know, so the relationship, so then based on the principle of religion that you have to perform your duties and it's the proper, it's the auspicious thing, then as cowherds, then in that way, then Krishna has to do his duties. So it wasn't just the thing of, you know, staying together as a family, then as cowherds, you have your occupation. That he eternally resides in Mathura and Dwarka is also mentioned. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna. The Lord Krishna lives there eternally. So it's always going on. So when they move to Dwarka, means then that the pastimes in Mathura become apricot. You know, that they're going on, but now they, you know, the same, they're there in Dwarka and then performing those pastimes. So there's some difference in them. That's why they mention the three realms. So we see them here, it goes very easy. Then he's in Vrindavan. I mean, Mathura goes to Vrindavan, comes back to Mathura, then goes to Dwarka, then goes back to Vrindavan. It works very nicely for us. But actually, all these three places are eternally going on. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.28. And then, Lord Madhusudan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally present in Dwarka. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious places, and merely remembering it destroys all contamination. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.31.24. If one has more particular curiosity, one should see the Vaishnava Toshani, Krishna Sandarbha, the two parts of Gopal Champu, and the commentary on Ujjwala Nilamali called Lochana Rochani, in the section deal with meeting and separation. And then, you know, if one has more particular curiosity. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 3.4.77. Some literary experts accept Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa as one of the rasas. 3.4.78. The learned recognize Vatsalya Rasa as one of the rasas because it is of its clear expression of bliss. In this rasa, the Stai Bhava is Vatsalya Rati, and the Alambana is the son or other offspring. Srila Prabhupada. These are some of the signs of parental love for Krishna by his mother, his father, and elderly persons. Symptoms of static love and parental affection are expressed when Krishna is accepted as the son. These constant transcendental emotions for Krishna are called steady ecstasy in parental love. Moreover, when a Dasya or Sakya Bhakta cannot discern if the Lord has rati for them, his priti rasa weakens, and prayo rasa disappears. But even if the vatsalya bhakta cannot discern the Lord's rati, vatsalya rasa is not affected at all. Right, so that's how it. He's showing how and establishing how it is its own rasa, because otherwise some may say, well, what's the difference between that and the others? You know, because you have the elder cowherd boys and also, but here it's that he's making that point, you know, that if they can't perceive Krishna's rati for them, then there's a problem. But with the parents, even they can't distinguish it, that it still goes on. That's why no matter what the kids do, parents always have that affection. But let's say friends, much of the time, if they see that you don't like them, then the relationship's over, or the master and servant, it's not there, it's over. Right? But in the parental, even if it's not perceivable, it still doesn't affect the relationship. It's still there. Srila Jiva Goswami, apratitao hari ratehe, means when a devotee cannot discern whether the Lord has attraction for that devotee or not. Right? So that's the specialty we see up here. So that affection is so much greater. 3480. What is astonishing is that all the three rasas just described, priti rasa, preo rasa, and vatsalya rasa, are said to appear mixed together in some devotees. Right? Some devotees will have the different degrees. There will be one prominent, right? Because when one thing is running, because remember when it said you have the secondary rasas, the vyabhichari bhavas, and then the one rasa that you want in. That's what you have, you know, that's what you work in. So it may move through these different rasa aspects. You may have something in there, and then it moves, like Yudhishthira seeing in the parental, it'll have that aspect, but then it'll switch into friendship, you know, so like that. 3481. Balaram Shakya rasa is mixed with dasya and vatsalya rasa, right? Because he's the lord of this potency, of the Sandini potency that's manifesting these rasas. Right? Because rasa became manifest through this aspect, you know, as it's, let's see if we can find. Yes, then Bhaktivinoda Kura is explaining here. By the influence of the Kriya Shakti, right? So that's, and Balaram's the lord of the Kriya Shakti. The Lord's Anubhavas become active. Oops. Within the Chit Shakti. So the Kriya Shakti's influence on the Chit Shakti, then the Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini Shaktis combine to produce the distinctive ecstasies of prema. It means within that, when you see all the different rasas and everything comes up. Is that, yeah? So he's the lord of the Kriya, but you see is that he takes care of those three rasas like that. So Shankar, I mean, means your Vasudev takes care of the Shanta aspect, right? And Radharani then is taking care of the conjugal, right? Or Krishna is taking care, you can say. Yudhishthira's Vatsalya is mixed with Dasya and Sakya. So his prominence is Vatsalya, and there's Dasya and Sakya. So depending, it'll be more of that. You know, so in other words, it's like here, Balaram Sakya Rasa is mixed with Dasya and Vatsalya. So you'll have it's that prominent, but a little bit of these coming. His is parental, but then it'll have sometimes the Dasya, he wants to render service. But also then sometimes friends, because they're all basically, they're all brothers, they're all equals, and they kind of have that aspect. Srila Jiva Goswami. Balaram Sakya is illustrated as follows. Sometimes as the coward boys danced, sang, moved about, and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby, hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities and laugh. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15:15. His Vatsalya is illustrated as follows. When his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy. Lord Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. Right? So then there's that aspect of the senior aspect. Balaram's Priti is illustrated as follows. Ooh, so it's not just, okay. Balaram's Priti is illustrated as follows. Who is this mystic power and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13-37. So he sees himself as junior to Krishna because there's some mystic power that is covering him. So he wants to know, is this a demigod or a demoness? You know, is it good or bad? But at the same time as he being who he is, only Krishna's energy can cover him, right? So then, you know, it just connects it to Krishna. So just because he's playing the human pastime, you may think it's a demigod or demon, but actually it's a service to Krishna. It should be understood that one can find other examples by consulting the Puranas. Right? So he's just showing how it works like that. So he's not going to do that for everybody. 3482, Ugrasena and others have dasya mixed with some vatsalya. Aged gopis have vatsalya mixed with sakya. Right, so there's that little bit of that. They have that vatsalya, but there's some touch of sakya will be there. The element of sakya in the elderly gopis because of a slight joking mood in their relationship with Krishna. Right, sometimes they'll now and again, just crack a joke or something like that with that. Or see it on Krishna's, you know, like, oh, okay, no, don't put all don't take away all this jewelry and all that. He's so beautiful, you know. So there'll be that little bit of something there. But it's just a touch. 3483. Nakula, Sahadev, Narada, and others have Sakya mixed with Priti, Dasya. Shiva, Garuda, Uddhava, and others have Priti, Dasya mixed with Sakya. Right, so that's why sometimes it's harder to see what their position, like Uddhava is, he's friends, because they talk about his friend, but he also talks about his servant. So it's because they have their rasa, and then it's mixed with the other. So you see one's primary, and the others are there as supportive, like that. But when the one's being tasted, then it becomes prominent at that time. But then it'll switch back. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami states herein that according to some learned scholars, the three kinds of transcendental mellow so far described, namely servitude, fraternity, and parental affection, are sometimes mixed. For example, the fraternal feelings of Balaram are mixed with servitude and parental affection. Similarly, King Yudhishthira's attraction for Krishna is also mixed with parental affection and servitude. Similarly, the transcendental mellow of Ugrasena, Krishna's grandfather, is mixed with servitude and parental affection. The affection of the elderly gopis in Vrindavan is a mixture of parental love, servitude, and fraternity. The affection of the sons of Madri, Nakula, and Sahadev, as well as the affection of sage Narada, is a mixture of friendship and servitude. The affection of Lord Shiva, Garuda, and Uddhava is a mixture of servitude and fraternity. Yeah, so then you see all these things. What's interesting is because you see everybody else is basically, you can see, is always fixed in those things. But Narad Muni, depending upon where it's being explained and in which context, you see he's explained as being in Shantaras, other places in Dasiras, and now he's being explained as he's in Sakiras, his friendship. Friendship with a touch of Sakya mixed with Dasya. Srila Jiva Goswami. The element of Sakya in Shiva and others is seen in relation to some forms of Vishnu, and forms such as Ajita, footnote 11. Ajita churned the ocean along with the Devatas. You know, so then there may be a friendship. So it's not necessarily in all forms, but in some situations. 3484. Some say that Aniruddha and other grandsons have dasya mixed with some sakya ras. In this way, the mixture of rasas should be understood in other devotees also. So if you have a rasa where you see that many varieties are different, you know, in different places, it just means it's mixed. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. Some persons, the devotees of Bengal, say that grandsons have some sake because they sometimes play with Krishna. But just like the grandson will play with the grandfather. So they have that aspect of sakya. Okay. Does that make sense? You know, it's like that example Prabhupada gives of the prime minister, some great minister like that. Somebody wants to see him, and that he's being told by the secretary to wait, you know. But I think, yeah. But then the person gets impatient, and then at some point just walks in, and there's the prime minister, the minister, whatever. And that he's on his hands and knees on the ground, and his three-year-old grandson is on his back riding around and playing horsey, right? So that's the thing, is he tells him what to do and all that, you know, like friends do and stuff like that. End of the fourth wave in the western section, entitled Vatsalya Bhakti Ras.
Maharaj?
Maharaj? Yeah.
So it yeah. seems that actually there is a... Even if there are only five main rasa and secondary, but the mixing is quite amazing, you know? That,
yes,
this
yes.
kind of situation that can happen. You know?
Yes, yes. You know, it's just like we were saying yesterday, you have the potatoes. And just boiling them, you know, and putting some butter in that, they're nice. But then you can take them and smash them and then bake them, and it's also nice. Or then if they're little, then you can take them and smush them with a fork and that, and then fry them, and then it's nice. So same ingredients, just, you know, how you put it together gives all the variety of flavor. So the prominent person is in that one thing, and others that may have those mixes. Like Mother Jashoda, it'll just be parental. And then others may have the mixes. Does that make sense? But within that, it doesn't mean that it's not activities that would be there are not within, because the higher the rasa, it contains the position of the previous ones. But the viewpoint of it, then whether it takes another flavor or it remains in its own. Does that make sense? So Mother Yashoda, yes, there'll be that thing, so they'll discuss with Krishna, or, you know, that she's bathing Krishna and cooking for Krishna, that's service, but it's part of the parental rasa, where they're doing that service to maintain him, you know, as parents. So it's all in that mood and all that perception that makes the thing, because the activity could be done in any of the positions. Yes?
And Krishna can relate perfectly with everyone.
Yes, that's the thing. Whatever is the mood at the moment, then he perfectly, that's why he's the perfect, that's why he's the perfect Vishaya. Because otherwise, then he'd be the Vishaya for some things, but not for others. You know, it's just like, let's say, you may have some friends, but you do different things with the different friends. You don't do necessarily the same things with all the friends.
Yes.
You know, like that, like so. Somebody you go and you study with them, and someone else you go out and play. You know, someone else you go and eat something with them. Someone you, when you go out to eat, it's all going, you go for snacks, and someone else you go for, you know, a proper meal or different things, you know. So it's not necessarily that all. So, but you can, no problem, as soon as you're with the one, it just, that's the relation. That's what functions.
Yes.
And they have different relations to different people themselves.
Yes.
But when they're with you, then it has that position. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. So then now we move on to anything else on this, or?
Just yes, a question. Yes, a question, a review question.
We're going to go to the page 43.
Okay.
I'll leave page 42 with all of you.
Thank you much.
But page 43, you know, like that. An excerpt from Jiva Dharma, chapter 30. Okay. Srila Goswami. Oh, okay. Of the... from Jivadharma, Goswami Maharaj. Okay. Srila Goswami started his elucidation. In Vatsalya Rasa, Sri Krishna is the Vishaya Alambana. principal objective, and his superior and elder Vrajavasis are the Ashraya Alambana, principal shelter. Krishna is the epitome of beauty, dark complexion, the reservoir of all auspiciousness, tender and gentle, sweet in speech, guileless, bashful, humble, charitable, and respectful to his elders. Right. So these are the natural qualities that if they're there in the children, then it has the greatest rapport with the parents. Same time as then that parents have to be able to appreciate this. They can say, okay, the children have this. But the point is they have all these things, then naturally they will be able to manifest, because it goes both ways. Unless that one is there, you can't have the reciprocation. Right? So unless there is the aspect, they're respectful to the elders, then you have to be able to respond with that kindness and that compassion and that mercy. But otherwise, if they're respectful and you're not, then it's not parental rasa. So there must be all the matching things. So if they're sweet, if they're, auspicious, you're trying to make everything arranged, and they're tender and gentle, then you're dealing in a proper, gentle way with them. Sweet in speech because you speak nicely to them. Got, you know, all these things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these are the qualities to look for. Nanda Maharaj, Rohini Devi, the senior gopis, Devaki Devi, Kunti Devi, Sri Vasudev, Sandipani Muni, and so on. Jashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj are principal amongst the seniors. The Udipanas and Vatsalya Rasa are the different ages of Krishna as a child, his beauty, his clothing as a child, his behavior as a child, his restlessness, his sweet words and talks as a baby, his joyful chuckling laughter, and his sometimes mischievous pastimes, etc. Right, so as the alambana, as the vishaya alambana, means he has qualities already there. That's this, you know, that the auspicious reservoir of all auspiciousness, tender, gentle, sweet in speech, you know, dark complexion, epitome of beauty, guileless, bashful, humble. These are all as the vishaya. That is his nature, and that's the ones they appreciate. Then what it then sparks is that these being applied then through the different situations that he's in. His clothing, his behavior, restlessness, the sweet words, his talks, pastimes, like that. And so these are the qualities as the Vishaya that are appreciated, that then within the principle of the Udipans, then give rise to that appreciation coming up. Rajanath, what are the different anubhavas of this rasa? Goswami, smelling the top of Krishna's head, gently squeezing and stroking his body, blessing him, pampering him, protecting and maintaining him, offering him good advice are some of the anubhavas. Because the anubhavas means then what you want to do, having appreciated Krishna in the position of as the Vishaya, the alambanas that come up, then what you want to do concerning that, is the anubhavas, right? Remember before there was that word that mentioned that there's the rati, but then when they come in contact, that rati meets the vishaya, then they want to do something. Remember, it was a word starting with, I think, a U. Okay. So that position, then they want to do something. So that's why the whole point comes up is the anubhavas are there. You want, there's a reaction to that. You want to render something. Then there's the physical reactions. Then there's the emotional reactions, like that. The sadharana, general anubhavas and nirsrasa are kissing, embracing, loudly calling Krishna by his pet names, and restraining and chastising him at appropriate moments. These are the general ones, right? Rajanath, what are the sattvika, and then other aspects will come added to that. Rajanath, what are the sattvika vikaras in this rasa? Goswami, the eight regular transformations, such as becoming stunned, ecstatic, trembling, tears of ecstasy, etc., are present. Plus, unique to this ras, the outflow of breast milk from the elder ladies. Thus, there are nine sattvika vikaras. Rajanath, what are the Vyabhichari Bhavas of this Vatsalya Rasa? Goswami, all the Vyabhichari Bhava symptoms of Priti Rasa, Dasya Rasa, that we have described earlier, plus Murcha, swoon, are manifested in Vatsalya Rasa. You see a lot of times then Mother Yashoda swoons like that. So it's whatever is there. Because remember, so much of all these things that are common between these three rasas. Because you see they can interchange. You know, have different flavors and mixes. Vrajanath, what is the nature of the Stai Bhava in this rasa? Goswami, in this rasa, the Stai Bhava is benevolent love and kindness, completely devoid of awe and reverence, given to the recipient of mercy. The Vatsalya Rati of elders, such as Yashoda Devi, is mature and matronly by nature. And this rasa, the Stai Bhava, extends through prema and sneha to reach raga. Balaram's love for Krishna is a mixture of dasya and Vatsalya rasa. Yudhishthira's rasa is infused with Vatsalya, dasya, and sakya. Ugrasena's dasya rasa is combined with Vatsalya and sakya. Nakula, Sahadeva, and Nard exhibit a combination of Sakya and Dasya. The Bhavas of Lord Shiva, Garuda, Uddhava, and others also exhibit an amalgamation of Dasya and Sakya. No? That's how it's written. Okay. Yes. So that then summarizes it all very nicely. And then next, we go from the fourth wave now to the fifth wave in the western section entitled Madhura Bhakti Rasa. And we'll continue with that from tomorrow. Then. Or here, we can just give the outline. Outline the Madhura Rasa, definition, the Alambana, then Krishna, the young and the young women, right? Because you have to have the Vishaya and the Ashraya. Then the ideal is Radha Supreme, then her form, her bhakti. Then what are the Udipanas, the Anubhavas, Satvika Bhavas, Vyabhichari Bhavas, there's 31 out of the 33. The Stai Bhava, that Madhura Rati, the Vipralamba, then separation. So Purva Raga, separation before meeting the first time. Purvasa, separation after meeting. And Mana, pride during separation. And then Sambhoga, meeting, right? Because you see now there's different Purva Raga, Purvasa, and Mana. These are different names that are given for the same kind of positions because they give different flavors. Like here, pride after supper is mana, so you don't have that in the others. It's just here in the conjugal lesson. So we'll continue with that tomorrow. Sorry. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.